wonderful to see everybody out this morning. It's always a blessing and encouragement to be able to come together and to study as we're given this opportunity to gather together with brother and sister in Christ and to worship and to study. Hope that the brethren here, as we had our gospel meeting last week with Brother Roger Hillis, have been uplifted and that our spirits are good and we're built up and ready to continue to go back and fight the good fight and continue to further the kingdom of God as the best that we can, whether growing spiritually ourselves or continue to help the kingdom grow physically as we shine His light unto others. It's always wonderful when you're able to look out and be with brethren as you look and know that there's desire to be here and to worship. It's something that we can rejoice in and knowing that we are able to gather together. So this morning I want to go forth and talk about rejoicing as a Christian, as we should and continue from day to day in many things. And we're going to talk about that. And one of the points is talk about some of the things in which we should rejoice in. And then before that, though, we're going to talk about some of the things that we should not rejoice in. It's just that we look to the Apostle Paul and his letters that he had written. We know that he helped establish many of the congregations. He went forth and visited these congregations, or he'd make mention at least his desire to go and visit these brethren as he would write to them. But there's always a mindset of joy in his heart as he would talk about their faith and what he has heard of the good works that they had done, or the joy that he just has in the brethren and the relationship in which he has with them. And so as we have that mindset, we're going to talk about rejoicing. Again, just as Christians, it should be something that some of an attitude we have each and every day of being happy and knowing that there's joy in Christ and joy in our Lord. But first, as I brought out, I want to talk about some of the things in which we should not rejoice in. There are some things in which we shouldn't get ourselves caught up in being joyful about. And sometimes, we may get caught up in doing such things. And so if you will start with me in Acts chapter 7 and verse 41. Acts chapter 7, and I'm going to look at verse 41 here. As it reads, it says, "At the time they made a calf and brought a sacrifice of sacrifice to the idol and were rejoicing in the works of their hands." So here, specifically the works of their hands that they're talking about, it is an idol that they had got caught up in making. And so one thing that we should not be rejoicing in is in false gods or false teachings, false religions. We should not be rejoicing in those things. And as you look here into an idol in which they had made with their own hands. And so again, they kind of take credit for themselves as they make this image. We look at the children of Israel in mindset and know what it's talking about here as they built that golden calf. You know, here they left Egypt, right? They were in Egypt. They were slaves for 400 years. They had to serve and they continued to do all this work. And then here comes Moses and God leading him, and Aaron, and they bring them out. All these plagues take place. They're able to walk on dry ground. And then, therefore, as they get to a certain point, they don't know what Moses is doing, why he's taking so much time up in this mountain. And so they make themselves a golden image, and they rejoice in it. They start to feast, and they start to have a good old time. And this idol that they had made, and though they're giving credit to an idol, to an image, to a god that they want to call it, they're truly, really taking it all for themselves. Because they're rejoicing in their own handiwork. It's almost in the same mindset as we might go to the book of Judges and look at Gideon. As he started off with those thousands and then he dwindled all the way down to 300. Is that they would rejoice in their own glory. God said, you can't go with that many because then you'll think that you guys did this on your own. And you're going to rejoice. And when they did defeat them and they won, then they had the brethren that had come up and met with them. Why didn't you tell us that you were going to go and fight? We would have fought with you. Again, because they want part of that glory. They want part of something so that they can rejoice in their own works, their own things. And we get caught up in doing a lot of great things with our own hands. Actually, I want to jump down to James 4, and then we'll come back to 1 Corinthians. James chapter 4 and verse 6, because I believe it goes along with what we're talking about here in Acts chapter 7. James chapter 4 and in verse 6, if you will, and turn along with me there, it says, but he gives greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And then in verse 16, it says, but as it is, you boast in your arrogance, all such boasting is evil. And so it was their pride. Again, as we go back to Acts 7 here, they build their own image. They get caught up in rejoicing in their own things. And God even prevented, as we talked about Gideon, them from being able to have that rejoicing of their own strength. Because God made it clear that He is the one that delivered them. And again, when you think about Israel and leaving Egypt and wandering through the wilderness and all that they had went through, there's no way they can sit back and say, we did all this on our own. So they had to make an image and still trying to give glory to themselves. And so things we should not rejoice in is our own pride. We should not get caught up in rejoicing in ourselves and in works of our hands, because we get caught up and we do a lot of great things. And it's not saying you can't be proud when you do good work, when you took the time and you did something right. You're going through school or you're doing work and you had to take the time to figure out the problem. You solved it and you got the answer right and you was able to do the project correct and it comes out just great. You know, again, not to sit back and say, yeah, I did a good job. Or to allow anyone to come and say, hey, you did a good job. Or to sit and say to your children who did the work and say you're proud of them. It's not saying we can't do that. We can't have. But to go so far to sit there and think that you're someone great and high and mighty and that you take all this pride and you take all this boasting and you get caught up and rejoicing over our own works and thinking that we are greater than what we are. Some of the things in which we should not rejoice in, remembering that we are just simple tools that God had made. We are simply things that God had put upon this earth. Now, He made us special. He made us in His own image. And He was great. And He did a fantastic job. We don't get caught up in rejoicing in ourselves and in our own work. In 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you will. 1 Corinthians 13, going back to that verse there. And in verse 6, 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 6, here as it goes forth and talks about what love and love is not, right? Going forth and letting us understand a little bit about love. And so in verse 6, here brings out, does not rejoice. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with truth. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. And so again, it's something else that we should not get caught up and rejoicing. We don't get caught up in rejoicing when someone does wrong. We don't get caught up in rejoicing in sin. But that's what the world does. The world does rejoice in sin. They enjoy it. They have fun. They think it's great. They parade it around. They make big scenes about it. And they try to get others to join in with it. But when we know that God is love, God does not rejoice in unrighteousness. And so therefore, we're not to rejoice in sin, in lawlessness, in unrighteousness. Not even to the point that sometimes we might get caught up in a mindset, and this is where I think we can get caught up in slipping in some points, is where we are maybe discussing something with somebody. You're trying to prevent somebody from doing something, and you fair warn them of what the consequences will be. And then they slip and they do it. And we're like, I told you so. We start to slightly rejoice that they had done something wrong because you told them it was going to happen. Or you rejoice because they have fallen short. And therefore, you know, what are we rejoicing in? We're not supposed to be rejoicing when others fall into sin or when others are hurting and suffering. Many things that we could probably add to that, and things in which we should not rejoice. And we need to make sure that we're being cautious in those things. We need to make sure that we're being faithful to God. And there's things to be joyful about, though. Things in which as we as Christians should be joyful about. One of those things is in hearing the Word of God as we study, as we are doing now, opening up our Bibles and searching the Scriptures as we have just done, as we went through our Bible class, that we should rejoice in hearing the Word of God, in hearing the Gospel. Acts 13 and verse 48. Acts 13 and verse 48. It says, when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And many has been appointed to eternal life believe. And so here again, the word has been presented to them. They heard what was being spoken here. And so they rejoiced. They rejoiced in hearing the word of God. But how often is that our attitude? I get to go to Bible class and to study with brethren. That we get to go and hear a lesson again, as we just had a gospel meeting, as I pointed out, there are flyers for other gospel meetings. That there's joy knowing that others are wanting to hear the Word of God, that they're making the opportunity for me to go and hear the Word of God be presented, to study, to listen. How often do we rejoice when we say, man, tonight's Saturday night, I got to make sure I got Bible class because I don't want him to ask a question that he might call on me for? Or is it, I get to study the Word of God. I have the Bible, the outline to get to heaven. I have something so precious that our Father up above has given to us. Do we rejoice in hearing the Word of God? Again, go back to when you finally understood and understanding the Word of God, that it meant that there is a home in heaven, that there is salvation, that there is forgiveness. The joy that we truly have when we were saved. Go to Acts chapter 8 as the eunuch had obeyed the gospel here. Acts chapter 8, verse 39. It says, and when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. Again, here's a man that was studying the Word of God, and as we kind of read into the scenario, the what was taking place, he was reading, he was confused. He did not quite understand what the prophet was talking about, who he was talking about. So as Philip came and approached and said, do you understand what is being said? Do you understand what you are reading? He said, how can I? I need someone to teach me. And so he began there, and he began to preach Jesus, and he taught the Word. And so it came to the point that they came up on some water, and he's like, what hinders me from being baptized? And that's what we're picking up there in verse 39, is that they went down into the water, and they came up out of the water. Philip is taken away to go do some more work by an angel. But the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Why? Why did he go on rejoicing? Because he had heard the good news, and he had been saved. But it's not a rejoicing that should end. We should continue to rejoice in our salvation. There should still be joy in our hearts knowing that God has forgiven us, knowing that God has lighted the lamp in your heart, knowing that God has a home in heaven waiting for you. Do we continue to be joyful about these things? Continue to receive joy in our hearts in it? In Philippians chapter 4, looking at verse 4, Philippians 4 and verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. How many of you are starting to sing that in your head right now? Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. I like when Paul does that. He just right off the bat says it again. He does it a couple times with a couple different things. He just repeats it. Again, I say, just in case you didn't hear it the first time, let me say it one more time, because we all can relate to that, right? Here he's writing it out, but we can relate to it when we speak to one another, when we speak to our children. We say it one more time. And then I usually say, yes, sir, to my children, just to make sure they repeat. Yes, they understood. They heard me. We're supposed to be rejoicing in the Lord. Not in the mindset of, God said I can't do that. God said I have to do this.
When people ask us of our faith, again, it tells us to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts so that we're always ready to give an answer, a defense for our faith. But when someone asks us, it shouldn't be a, well, I have to get into this because they asked. Well, I really don't want to get into that at all. But should be joyful to have the opportunity to share your faith, to share the Word of God that you enjoy reading and hearing, to enjoy the good news of salvation so that others might rejoice in it also. That we rejoice in the Lord and the works in which He has given us. In Romans chapter 12 and in verse 12. Romans chapter 12 and looking at verse 12. It reads here, it says, rejoice in hope, preserving in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Rejoice in hope. Again, sometimes the hope is, I hope so. There's not a lot of joy to it. There's just something that we say we're kind of just hanging on to that it's just kind of there. But again, we've talked about it as we studied Hebrews and got into talking about our faith and what it is and its substance for our hope. And so faith with our hope going hand in hand together means that we should rejoice in that hope, right? That there is joy knowing and hoping for that day to come. There is joy and there is hope. And sometimes we get caught up in, of course, the worrying part as we think about those who have yet to obey the gospel. But then we should also be joyful knowing that we're still here today. And so therefore we're in God's patience and long-suffering because He doesn't desire for any to perish, but desires all to come to repentance. His long-suffering is there for our salvation, for all. And so we're joyful and thankful that He is giving hope that there's still opportunity to save those who have yet to come to the Word of God, for those who have fallen away. So we have joy in those things. We have joy in the hope in our Lord. And again, there's joy to an extent in our suffering for the Lord. And we often go to Matthew and we read back Matthew 5 and go through the Beatitudes there. It's the most probably common, I think, that gets turned to when we talk about rejoice. Blessed are those who suffer and for persecution in the name of the Lord. But here in Acts 5, we get the example as they were thrown into prison, as they are being told to no longer speak and teach the words of our Lord. And so here in Acts 5, verse 41, he goes, it says, so they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for His name. Again, it's the mindset that God allowed me to do this work for Him. God has allowed me to go forth and do this for Him. To set an example, to teach, to even be persecuted in His name. Whereas, again, you could look down and say, none of you are worthy of wearing my name. None of you are worthy to wear my son's name. But here, they're saying they were rejoicing because they were counted worthy. Because they had been doing what is right. And therefore, because they were doing right, people noticed and they suffered for Christ. Again, we're told that if we suffer for our own wrongdoings, there's nothing to be joyful about. You've done something wrong. You've got caught. You've got punished. But to suffer in the name of the Lord for doing righteous work, for doing good deeds, for being kind, for shining His light, then you've suffered for a worthy cause. And you've suffered in the name of the Lord, and we can rejoice in that. Again, our hope and our mindset on heaven, going to Matthew 5. Matthew 5 and verse 12. Right after it talks about suffering in the name of the Lord here. It goes forth and says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
showing mindset of being worthy to suffer in His name, and we rejoice in that suffering, but it's also because we rejoice in the reward. Again, something we talked about two Sundays ago as we got into the introduction of Hebrews 11, of our faith, that we must believe that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. That He is a rewarder. And that's what we're looking for, and we rejoice in that mindset of receiving that crown of life, of receiving that room in heaven, of a life without no pain and suffering or worries any longer. Again, we may take time aside, and we went through a long list of names of those who need prayers. And we can dwell upon that, and we can sit there and think about what's going wrong in our life today, and look at the news and see what's going wrong with the world and our nation. Or we can get caught up in not being joyful. We can get caught up in allowing it to lead us to depression. When there is so much in which we should be rejoicing in, and including one another, that we should be rejoicing with each other, especially as we've gathered together today, as we're here with each other, that we can look around. And again, sometimes we can get caught up in getting disappointed as we look around. We might say, I'm upset so-and-so is not here. I'm upset that they haven't been here in a long time. But we also need to look around and rejoice with those who are here. Rejoice with our brothers and sisters in Christ that are here. Romans 12 and verse 15. As it reads here, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Again, we read this in Corinthians as you go through, and it talks about how we are one body, but many members. And again, that we're to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. That we are to be there for each other. So as good things happen for our brothers and sisters in Christ, we allow that to their joy to come to us, and that we're joyful for them, and we start to let it, let my smile hopefully help you smile. And as I look at others and they help me smile, let us rejoice together. Let us rejoice again in the Lord, because that's why we're here. That's why we are one body. That's how we are. That's our hope to get to heaven. So let us continue to do the work of our Lord and Savior. Let us continue to be faithful. And remember, from day to day, as the Lord continues to be patient, allowing us each and every day that we live here, that we need to be joyful, that we need to have a smile, that we need to remember that God is still there for us. The Lord is ready to strengthen you. So if you're here this morning and you've yet to obey the gospel, you can come forward and be baptized, come out of that water rejoicing, know that you have a home in. The brethren here will be rejoicing with you as your sins are forgiven. And if you're here and you need the prayers of the congregation, the brethren will rejoice with you as you gain your strength. They will be sorrowful with you if you're struggling, and we can help you get to that point of being happy once more as we all work together in the service of the Lord. So if there's anything we can do for you, let it be known as we stand.